This potato is sweet. You would like it. Put it in your mouth and eat it up, okay?
It's like
the gold foil.
Yeah, it's like orange plantains.
Eat this.
Yeah! Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hours.
It's good!
Und gut für euch.
It is so good for you, for real, for fun, for everyone. You're listening to the most unique radio show of its kind every Tuesday at 4 o'clock, 91.5 FM. Streaming online and archived on our website, OutLoud. Or sorry, that's the old website. GayRadioShow.com is our website. And yeah, you can stay in touch. There's links to everything there where you can all listen to. It's a free download on your smartphone. If you download TuneIn Radio, download the TuneIn Radio app, search WPRK. You can listen to the radio show anytime you want to, even if you're outside of the Central Florida area. I'm your host, DJ Justice. This is episode number 355. And it's kind of a tradition. I think when something happens for more than 1 year, it reaches tradition status. So I'm very pleased to have back with us again. Alex the Friend Turn is here. How you doing, Alex?
Schmappy Schmanksgiving.
But what's even better here is Addison Taylor, the petite and the amazing Addison Taylor is here for like the second or the third Thanksgiving in a row. How you doing?
I'm so excited to be here. I can hardly stand it.
Before we go on, we're like, there's a lot of intros to the show. We got to play a lot of crap before we get on the air. There's like a basketball game. I got to play underwriting. I got to play the disclaimer. I got to play the gay song to buy time while other people are coming in who should be here. And so as they
and
walk
voila.
In the door. One of the most talented men in Orlando is here. Rob Ward, man.
Hi, it's a Thanksgiving
miracle. We were just talking about how when something happens on this show, like more than once, we give it tradition status. So this is like the second or third year that Addison has always joined us. The Tuesday before the Thanksgiving holiday, she has a great outlook on Thanksgiving, about family, what family means. And some of her words, I don't know if you remember being inspirational to me, but you were. And so maybe we'll talk about that. We didn't officially say grace yet.
Grace.
So you want to serve plates, Alex? You want to serve plates? We brought a Thanksgiving feast to eat on the air today.
Right away, Master.
I want to thank the Lord Jesus and my mom and my agent and DJ Justice and Addison Taylor, my annual Thanksgiving
friend. If we don't stop, he's going to keep going.
And the sweet people from the Entenmann's Classic Bakery.
We got pumpkin donuts. We got pumpkin donuts. We got hot and spicy breaded and unbreaded wingy dingies from the Gay Publix. We went to the Gay Publix before this.
Good, I'm watching my carbs.
And then we also got delicious cheddar.
A dainty little
delicious higher club potato chips. Your white cheddar. White cheddar and sour cream. They're really good.
And they're gluten-free, it says.
Yeah.
Yay.
Everyone loves it when we eat on the air.
Thanks, gluten.
For the lack thereof.
Well, it's actually good to be back. How is everyone doing? Did everyone enjoy the last 2 weeks of their life where we didn't have live radio? Anything exciting happen to anybody?
Nope.
No, same old, same old. Actually, it was a very refreshing week on Facebook with you in Argentina.
Oh, well, thank you. I did return on Monday.
Yeah.
I was happy to do that. I was happy to be gone and disconnect and put everything on private and deactivate the Facebook page, you know, because the Wi-Fi in the southern mountains of Argentina and the Patagonian region, you know, like the Wi-Fi doesn't really, it's not that good.
But did Grindr work?
My Grindr didn't work. My Grindr got, no, it
the
did.
The next closest person is 7,000 miles.
Right.
Listen, that's about what it did. Because here was my thought. My original thought was, let me make a Grindr profile that has the sexiest guy possible that promotes the radio show. And when I go up to JFK to fly down to Buenos Aires, I'll disconnect. So I just assumed my Grindr would be in New York for like the 10 days and get all kinds of people going like, oh my God, look at this guy that has abs that clearly are not mine. But, you know, let me add his Facebook and his Twitter and his Instagram, you know, all this stuff. I came back, it switched down to South America, and you're right. So I'd get a comment from someone that's like in Ushuaia, which is the southernmost town in the world to Antarctica. And this guy's like 750 miles away, and he's like, hey, what's up? Are you okay?
Are you okay?
Looking?
Question mark?
Top or bottom?
Looking?
Mark.
I have a helicopter.
Yeah. It was good, though, and, you know, let's talk about the three things that I learned this week. This is one of those shows where it's like I have to mix having a guest, talking about news, talking about Thanksgiving, other things that happened while we were gone, but...
And fried chicken.
Yeah, and fried chicken, but, you know, this is my little moment. So the first thing I learned this week is going to be, you know, I want to let everyone know how the trip went, because I'm back. I made it. Ah! Loud! Nobody wants wings?
I don't like to work for my food.
You don't like to work for your food?
I feel the same way about crab legs, to be honest.
I was gonna see it and you're gonna, no, I don't do
food. Oh, you mean like work for your food,
like tearing it apart.
Yeah.
No. Mm-mm.
But that's, see, I think that's great because then it's like you can feel your like skinny girl. Like, you're like,
I'm burning calories as I'm eating.
Look at me. I don't like to burn calories. I need every single calorie I can get.
I want them all.
I'm wasting away.
I have a new appreciation for hiking and camping. I was freezing. It was way colder than I thought it would be.
Everything about your choice in trip sounds like the most unpleasant choice you could have made.
Okay, let me say this. It was the most physically and spiritually challenging thing that I had ever done. And now that I've done it, I'm really good. Like, I'm good. I don't need to prove anything else to myself at this point.
From now on,
I don't need to climb a mountain again. I don't need. I was shuddering in my sleep.
I feel good about myself, and I have yet to climb a mountain.
No, I get what you're saying.
I still want room service.
You were 2 degrees away from being locked up abroad, like to being that documentary on whatever channel it's on. Like, you could have shoplifted and you would have been in the slammer for 15 years.
No, we're in the middle of nowhere. Like, you'd be walking around the wilderness. This was like living in a tent, pooping on a tree type camping in freezing weather after coming down. So, you know, so the people were great. I went with my best friend, Matt, my hetero life mate. We've been friends for like 12 years. You know, anyone that can stay in my life for that long, you know, is a special person. We're always
basically a saint at this point.
Right? No, we go at each other. We never give the other one an inch. So it's kind of
really you're very difficult with someone.
Very trying.
So weird.
But it's mutually it's out of respect. Rob, don't smugly smile at me and say that. Don't smugly smile.
That's what I've got. Smugly smiler.
So I was down in South America, down in Argentina, hiking the Patagonian Mountains, and you know, I mean I always feel like I have to repeat things because you never know when you have new listeners. The whole reason I went was because last November I got diagnosed with cancer. I went through chemo, I conquered it. I said, this November, let's go conquer a mountain. We didn't do like the Fitzroy, which is the biggest peak up there. It's like the Mount Everest of South America. We did not do that one. We climbed up.
It's level 10.
Yeah, we climbed
level 2.
No, we climbed up Pliegue Tumbado after like ziplining across the Fitzroy River. And as we're going uphill, I realized very quickly that I was in shape. I was able to pull this off, but we don't really train for uphill anything here in Florida. The worst part of this whole thing.
We don't have an uphill.
Exactly.
But there's a maze on top.
Jogging
of
in Claremont or something. Yeah.
It was I kept up with everyone who had previous mountain hiking experience in like Nepal and Machu Picchu, and so I'm actually doing good until we get to the uphill slopes, like 1,400 feet above sea level,
I'm down home.
They called me Rambo because everything I had was camo-ish. If you want to see pictures, they're up on our Twitter page. Follow us on Twitter. At Gay Radio Show, or Instagram at Gay Radio Show. And you can see pictures of the trip to Argentina. So my backpack with everything in it was camo. My parka, the rainproof jacket, was camo. Like, so everyone, they called me Rambo at the first meeting. I just was kind of like, I'm not gonna fight it. But you know, and so we met up. It was Matt and I, a Russian improv comic from New York City
Soviet Russia mountain climbs you
who kind of looked like a 30-year-old kind of sexy Mr. Bean.
Okay.
Oh, wait, what? Sexy Mr. Bean?
I'm trying to visualize
can't go
that.
In the same sentence. What a
How can someone be a sexy Mr. Bean?
Like the mannerisms
like
and
Mr.
the...
Mr. Bean minus all the down.
Let me say, this guy had the most interesting, engaging face. I would just sit and watch him, like, drink coffee and eat a muffin, and it just his
hello, head. I'm going to eat a muffin.
Sexy time.
And he's the only one. And he actually, he made the dinner conversations real, because there's a group of six of us, like a 25-year-old Asian guy who was real quiet. We were in tents of three, and so when we first got to the little area, I saw the one girl, and I was just, hey, what do you do? And she turns out she's like a manager for 5 Broadway theaters. She actually manages the theaters that like Jersey Boys is in. So she's like on the high. So as soon
is
as
it
she's
Broadway or Jersey.
Hmm.
Never mind.
A Broadway theater of the show Jersey?
Never mind.
What did I
You're
miss?
You're telling a story. There was a Russian on a mountain who looked like Mr. Bean.
Right. Oh, and there was another guy. I don't want to out him because he was a nice guy. Anyway, one thing about guys that lose their virginity recently, they like to talk about it a lot, and they only have like 2 stories that they find 12 different ways to tell. So for some reason, surprisingly, the talk of dinner as we're freezing in this valley at the Fitzroy base camp in tents, we have to all eat in this tent. So it's very communal, like long meals. meals, and thank God for Improv Russian Comic, because he automatically started pushing the line, going like, so everybody, why don't we tell our favorite story of the strangest places that we have boom snap clapped at that?
Then we will, yes, and yeah,
it's me, Mario.
So,
Mario.
Right. So the people were cool. So when I saw the gal that was the manager at the theater, I immediately kind of looked at her and I was like, do you want a tent with my best friend and I? And I just shot her a wink and I was like, I'm family. She was like, oh, I got you. Because I was thinking, you know, does she want a room with like two random strange guys, or does she know with like the gay dude being the
gay?
Pretty much. Well,
you're safe with me. I am the gay.
Right. And so the people were very cool. And another little cool moment that happened for me was, you know, as I was kind of sharing my story a couple days in, you know, this girl wanted to see pictures of me with no hair from chemo. And the guy named Juan, who was guiding us through the mountain and making sure we survived, he overheard me and pulled me to the side and goes, you know, you mentioned that you know, had beaten cancer. You know, I lost my son, who was 5 a couple years ago. And so, like, we had a kind of connection there. So I think he was vested in the success of the trip. And I want to talk about just one particular mountain, and then I'll get off of the whole soapbox of me. But this main mountain that we climbed, Pliege.
Justice is life again. Black Pliege, the mountain this week.
Pliege Tumbado. All right, this was the scariest thing that I've ever done. It was a true Lord of the Rings style mountain climb. No trails. We're going up. It snows. Each step is snow up past your knee as sideways snow is blowing into your face. I can't walk up hills very well. I'm 20 minutes behind the rest of the group with the one other Russian guy, the other Spanish guy that doesn't speak any English, who just keeps saying vamanos, vamanos, and he kicked me when I tried to crawl because I'm literally counting the steps going one step, two step, three step, because because once my body weight would shift, I had 4 times where I yelped, I cried out because I thought I was going to roll off the mountain. Like, I'm bracing the full body weight on this stupid little, like, trekking pole.
Did you give the mountain a good Yelp review?
9 out of 10 would recommend.
I mean, I didn't die, so I mean that's an automatic like
definitely
5 or 6.
Would go back, check it out. I didn't
right.
die.
So we get to the top, and
no
then when,
Wi-Fi.
And the Wi-Fi was horrible. And then when I got to the top, I was upset. I was upset because it had taken me 20-25 minutes longer than everyone else. That it had been so much more of a struggle for me to get to the top. And that's where, you know, the best friend sensibilities comes in. And Matt kind of smacks some sense to me and just goes, it doesn't matter how long it took. You did that. Like, you just accomplished that. You just accomplished a 7-mile hike up a mountain. You know, at that point, there was no quitting, though, because you can't quit.
But you,
like,
really don't have that option.
No, like, you either fall off and die.
Death,
yeah. Pretty much.
And then here I am imagining you at the top of this mountain, and then at the very top is like a little Starbucks that you go, you did it.
You made it.
You
made
Here's
it
your chai latte from Oprah.
A gold star and a hug, like the Special Olympics.
No, the one guy that was living in Brazil, an American transplant named Jim, his idea of bringing sustenance was to bring 20 Snickers bars. With him, you know, everyone else is packing like MREs. I'm eating MREs. I'm eating granola bars, trail mix, protein powder. And so my reward when I got to the top was he handed me one of his coveted Snickers bars. Unfortunately, though, it's rock hard because it's freezing. So I'm like trying to be polite and like, chew on the ice cream
Why
bar.
Why wait? Because it's frozen? You have to.
And so, you know, I got out of this trip what I needed to get out of this trip. I got some much needed time with the best friend that I hadn't seen in about 2 years. I think that it's all come full circle. And like when we talk about a return to normalcy, I'm still figuring out what normal's going to be for me. But this is no longer on the bucket list. So we're going to go other places for fun vacations.
But yeah. Have Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Well, we didn't even. I didn't even know what had happened in Paris until this past Thursday. I had no news of any of the stuff, the terrorist attacks that had taken place in Paris until we got Wi-Fi last Thursday. So we were down at El Chaton and then El Calafate are the names of these towns. And, you know, so it was, all in all, it was just a great trip. You know what? This is just a shout out. Happy 30th birthday to my roommate and friend and former show member, Daniel Dean. Atomic Woo-hoo! Adonis.
Thank you for the birthday wishes.
He turned dirty 30. He's so busy working, I don't ever see him anymore. But
I'm painting in my underwear right now.
Yeah. You know what? I can take credit because by scheduling my trip to Argentina, he did not schedule his birthday trip, which was originally supposed to be to Paris.
Oh,
so
to Paris.
So he was going to be in Paris that weekend, so I saved his life.
And then it becomes about justice again.
You know what? I'm just a man, Rob.
I'm just a man.
I'm just a man.
His pants one leg at a time.
You've climbed a mountain now. You're more than just a man. You are a legend.
You're not a boy.
You're a man who made a dumb choice.
Take
the stairs or the elevator.
It was good, but it was, you know. So obviously the other thing, the second thing.
I once climbed to the top of the Statue of Liberty. Does that count?
Just on the stairs?
No, I took the elevator, but I count it as a climb because you had to wait forever.
See, I just imagine how disappointing, like, who cares?
Like, do you think that when you see any stairs?
Yes. Even if it's just like one step up, I don't care. It's too much. Too much of a commitment. I don't like it. But like getting to the top of the Statue of Liberty, you look out and you're like, oh, okay, it's the same crap that I've been looking at. Yeah. But now I'm higher up. Yay. Climbing 7 miles up a mountain through cold and misery. And you get there and you're like, oh, wow, there's nothing here. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Now we get to go down 7 miles. Cool. Not bothered.
The scenery was beautiful. I got a lot of video, and I'm working on that little editing video. And, you know, so instead of wasting any more airtime on it, I will be happy and would love to share kind of the video experience to some music, you know, like maybe 3 minutes song. Yeah, three minutes of video of me.
Something like super motivational while you have like this happy montage of you climbing up the mountain.
And yeah.
It's like he's like running around in circles singing the sound of music.
You know what's bad is I already knew what song I wanted to use.
And it's so cheesy.
No, it's kind of more
somewhere
like...
Somewhere over the rainbow, the ukulele
version. No, it's more of like a nature-y, type song. Kind of like an indie...
Anaconda. My anaconda don't...
You know what, I really should make two versions of the video and just see which one gets more views over the next couple of years. Because once I put crap up on YouTube, like there's crap
over
on YouTube from...
Over the next couple of years? How long do you think people are going to be watching this video?
I don't know, man. Like
there was a lot of video. A lot. It's going to
be
so...
There could be like 10 remixes of it. Like.
Yeah. So then the second thing I learned this week was when I got back, the first thing that Daniel said when I got in the house, and I was like, hey, what happened while I was gone? Oh my God, have you seen the fabulous little child selling the Barbie doll?
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
gay Barbie doll.
Yeah? Did you hear about that?
Uh-huh.
So evidently there was an ad that came out.
She's fierce.
Let's see, the fashion conscious little faux-hawked Barbie loving boy in the commercial that went viral last week. He called the Barbie, now I didn't even know what it was, and this is where I'm gonna sound old. It was advertising Machismo, or Machismo.
Moschino.
I love Moschino, it's the sweetest white one. No.
She's so Moschino.
What is that?
It's
is that a
most
brand?
Most Moschino Barbie ever. Yeah, it's an Italian fashion house.
Why? How or why would I know that? Is this established?
You wouldn't.
I mean, it's you wouldn't. I mean,
it's like Versace, but you can buy it at the Florida Mall.
So evidently this, so they got some backlash because people are going, yo, there's a kid. Why is there a boy in a Barbie commercial? Is this kid gay? Is he not gay? Did you find anything else out about him? Or
no, he's just the mystery. He's like Lady Gaga's kid in American Horror Story. No one knows anything about him.
Moschino Barbie. She's the most Moschino Barbie ever.
Moschino Barbie doll, fabulosity totally included.
So I don't know if he's gay or if he's gonna be like always known as the gay kid in the Barbie commercial. Did you see the commercial?
Yeah, I like the little at the end.
Yeah, the little wink. The wink.
It's
the wink was pretty awesome.
Moschino Barbie wink.
But I just sit with the Moschino though, so it's like
I like her because she has boobies.
Well, okay, so the kid is supposed to be a representation of Jeremy Scott when he was a kid who often used
it's
Barbie.
It's like you're reading off my paper. Go on.
Who used Barbie as a muse, especially in his fashion design, which is why, you know, you sort of look at his, especially his, like, spring collection that was Barbie-inspired,
uh-huh.
Which is why I believe they came to that partnership with Mattel.
Trixie Mattel?
Mattel considers the video a faux-mercial. They sent a statement to BBC News, Mattel did, saying, this video parodies iconic Barbie commercials from the 1980s starring a young Jeremy Scott lookalike, celebrated how boys and girls alike will play with Barbie. It's all about self-expression, fashion, imagination, and storytelling.
They're calling it a parody video. It's not an actual commercial.
I think they said fomercial because it was a commercial, but it did look like the commercials that were like more popular in the 80s and 90s, where the kids like, "I'm playing with this toy. Let's go, G.I. Joe!" And then you and the toy are like running through the fake forest, and then they're like all these G.I. Joe toys with vehicles, batteries,
all. Well, also keep in mind they weren't trying to advertise it. All of those dolls sold out in an hour. Like there were no more Moschino Barbies after 1 hour of them being put on the internet to be bought.
Okay. Well, there you go. Moschino Barbie. If you really want to get a gauge on, I guess, how accepting the world is nowadays, if the Moschino Barbie little gay kid wasn't enough, check out an episode of Project Runway Juniors on Lifetime, where it's all age.
They do a junior now, too?
Yeah.
MasterChef. I just found out about MasterChef, and now there's a little girl named Addison on there.
Yeah, there's a little girl.
There's, like, diabetes waiting to happen, and it's drugs to me. I can't.
So Rob knows this from working in the world of theater, you know, how comfortable, I guess, today's teens are. So Project Runway's Juniors is age 13 to 17, and so there's, like, six girls that are like, oh, I like it, and then they have just got like six or seven of the sassy, like you got like fat little sassy Asian boy, you got like fashion little
cast photo immediately.
There's southern,
there's no Wi-Fi on the mountain now.
There's southern, that's a new country song. There's no Wi-Fi on the mountain. There's no Wi-Fi on the mountain. There's no Instagram to my heart.
I can't get no Grindr chats when I'm climbing.
Yeah. There on Project Runway Juniors, there's like a little southern black gay boy. There's like way too prim. And Christian Siriano is a judge, and Kelly Osbourne is a judge. So, if you really want to see, you know, these are your children's friends.
Believe the children are the future.
I would not be allowed to have had friends like that. Like, I would have been too fearful to ever have a friend that was that flamboyant.
Yeah, but you were
flamboyant.
All paranoid, like, someone might someday think that
I mean, clearly you didn't have a friend that had,
like,
any style.
Yeah, that's why you were so messed up till you were... Like, well, you're still messed up.
Arrested development.
On that path that you've been on.
Right. Well, you know, it works out, though. It works out.
It's true. Have you seen the Campbell Soup commercial with the two gay dads?
Yeah. I did see that. We talked about that. We actually played it on the air.
Full of rage.
Oh, that 1 million moms. Did you find them?
It won't go bigger, but I can just tell from the thumbnail that I'm going to enjoy it very much.
They're only two episodes in. So you know they're doing all right with that. Rob, I know you have something coming up in December. Was it featured in the Watermark or the Orlando Weekly?
It was featured in the Orlando Weekly, and I was just told it's going to be featured in the Sentinel next week.
Very nice. Awesome. So you're bringing back. I don't know if you know this. Last week we played, or 2 weeks before, we played everyone's first appearance. We played the first appearance of Rob from 2010. Alex was here co-hosting with me. Yep. The first appearance of Adrian, Atomic, and James, the quiet freaky deaky Air Force intern. And you know, listening back to the show with you was the worst. Because I was
so paranoid.
Oh, God, I was just horrible. Like, I don't know how to trust anyone else. I thought
Justice
he'd been...
I thought I was a secret spy sent here to try to get him off the air.
Oh, dude, he told me that whole story.
That's how important he thought he was, that people would send a secret spy to try to get him canceled.
And we're trying to pretend, like, that Rob and Pepe, like, aren't the same person. So, like, we're like, when you're talking to the character on radio, it doesn't quite work because he's not in costume. And it's like, oh, hey, where's your friend Rob?
I'm right here. Oh, it's crazy.
So, the Pepe, the annual Pepe Chris Mahana Kwanzaa's, but
yes,
or did I screw it up?
A very special, or a very Pepe Chris Mahana Kwanzaa special. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. So Pepe's gonna be hosting a show with all kinds of local talent in there. So like Jeff Jones is gonna do some stand-up.
It's at the venue again?
Yeah, at the venue on Monday, December 7th.
Oh, sweet, dude. And yeah. Is it supporting? Are you doing it for money, for profit, or charity this year?
All the money goes to the Barber Fund, supporting those living with cancer.
Yeah. That's Blue puts it on. John Tweekaweed, a former Miss Comedy Queen. The Barber Fund is a great, you know, organization. Blue is amazing.
It's an amazing organization. I was really happy we did the show for the first time last year. We're able to bring in about $650 to $700 for the organization. So this year I'm hoping to double that. So
I will be to that. And since, you know, I will try and raise money and promote that actively for you and not ask for a comp ticket so I can do my part.
That one, there's no comps because it's all to help.
Very nice. And then I know, Addison, you have on December 1st this World AIDS Day, and you have a different event going on too. Where's that going to be at?
December 1st is at the venue. There's lots of things at the venue that week. I'm hosting that with AJ Pratt's Madame Pivira. A benefit. It's the Dirty Curdy Red Bandana Ball. I think, yes, the Red Bandana Ball. And all the money is going to their team for the AIDS walk, I believe. And then on the 3rd, 2 days later, is Tweeka's birthday.
Yeah.
And it's the Miss Comedy Queen annual holiday spectacular.
Oh, wow.
And all the money gets raised goes to the Barber Fund.
Is that one going to be at the venue as well? Everything's at the venue. Yay. We should have Blue on the show more often. I love Blue. Should. Listen, a reputable news source, QueerTea recently conducted a survey where they looked at the correlation of how many of their readers, how often their readers get laid and how many pumpkin spice lattes they consume. The survey finds that people who drink more, pumpkin spice lattes get laid more often. Out of 3,000 people that were surveyed, 84% reported they do not drink pumpkin spice lattes. I hate when I do this when I don't remember percentages. Crap. 48% of those that said they do drink pumpkin spice lattes said they had. You know what? I'm going to skip over this. Basically,
You're doing great.
It sounds horrible. Numbers are hard.
Because this was, I'm sure, a very fact-based news story anyway.
Right. So that came from a very reputable news source.
When asked how likely they would be.
It was also right next to just a link for like, click here for new Justin Bieber news that leaked online.
When asked how likely they would be to have sex with someone who dislikes pumpkin spice lattes, 56% said they would be more likely to sleep with that person than the 44% who said there would be less. So I don't get what we're trying to learn
here.
The
moral of the story is, if you're looking to get a quick one in there, go to Starbucks and get a PSL and then go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
There you go.
I unfortunately got a...
You know what it is, right? The causation is the, you know, obviously Starbucks
Hold
is
on
safe.
One second. We always... Don't, he has funny jokes.
It's
don't
okay.
try
no,
to
it's
talk
over
about
now.
Jokes.
The moment has passed.
The moment was passed.
Look,
I'm
your
sorry.
Your microphone was so sad it just fell over.
I know. I was sad, too. I'm sad. What's the correlation, Alex?
Is that, obviously, Starbucks Satan coffee, they have a little sprinkle of lust inside of it.
Because they hate Christmas.
Yeah, they do. They do hate Christmas. Everyone
red
eat,
cups
eat.
Are promoting sex and hating of the Christians.
Yeah, that was going on before I left. That was, no one really paid attention to
People
that.
People stop caring now, so that's
yeah.
the good news.
Yeah, that's a pretty,
moved on.
That's a pretty good thing. With Thanksgiving coming around the corner, does everyone have plans? What's everyone doing? I'm going to be in town this week. I'll go see the family this weekend.
Are you not going down for Thanksgiving, though?
No, I'm going to do, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to go see my family. So I'll be driving down to South Florida probably tomorrow morning. Well, go down for the weekend.
I got to do the phone sex job tomorrow until like 3. So it's kind of awkward to...
So then get in your car when it's over.
But I can't like go home early.
I mean, shower
and...
up, but then get in your car. And...
I don't need to shower up from that job.
Right? I know you.
No.
I know you.
You can just have to the clean calls that dirty mouth your cell phone, and you can do it while you're while
I'm
you're
sorry,
driving.
What?
Have the calls transferred to your cell phone.
Yeah, rent a car with Bluetooth. That way while you're driving, you can just be like, "Oh yeah."
No, I'm
oh,
not I'm
it.
Not I'm not
me,
supposed
I'm okay.
to
no,
I'm
it.
Not supposed to do that. So I don't know.
I like that you're winking like your boss is listening
right?
to the show.
My wife is here.
Out loud Orlando, thinking that I'm much more important than I actually am. So
you
that's
said secret spies to destroy me.
No.
GayRadioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at GayRadioshow. Hashtag GayRadioshow. So gay Ad Moschino Barbie and pumpkin spice lattes. Eat a donut. Shut up
PSL.
And eat.
They're pumpkin
A pumpkin spice
donuts.
Donut?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It on
so we were at the gay Publix earlier. I had to go and buy. I bought 12 sweet potatoes and brown sugar and butter.
Just for fun. Or?
I've gotten.
He's gonna make a collage.
He's got kinky plans.
I've got to do my phone sex. It makes great sound effects.
I got invited to a Puerto Rican Christmas Thursday night, so I'm going over to a friend's house
and
with other Puerto Ricans. I think. A Puerto Rican Thanksgiving. Sorry,
very,
see, no one,
Rican
we talked about this before the show. Nobody cares about Thanksgiving. It's just, we're just, it's like a buffer for Christmas.
It's a Thursday.
It's the appetizer
it's
for Christmas.
It's a pre-Christmas.
It's a pre-Christmas. So I'm going to in an effort to continue being trans Latino, I'm going to go spend my Thanksgiving night actually with a group of Latinos at their family, and I don't know what to expect. What's a Puerto Rican Christmas or
it's
Thanksgiving?
Like,
see, no one even cares.
Loud.
It's loud and it's like it has like regular think about regular American classics with a Puerto Rican twist. So basically everything except you're gonna have some rice and beans instead of whatever it is white people have at Thanksgiving.
Mashed potatoes with adobo.
And with adobo, yeah.
Typically
much.
Hispanic celebrations last a long time, so you'll be there till
like
December.
Right. Can I have my can I have the chippies? So I'm gonna make sweet potato casserole. Is sweet potato casserole like considered a white people side dish or?
I mean, I hate
with
sweet
like
potato,
the marshmallows so. And the.
No, because it's in soul food.
You just said that marshmallows are an ingredient in your. your potato casserole. So yes, that's definitely for white people.
That would be white people.
Yeah. I need to be good enough, so I had to call my aunt.
Those were not words.
I'll call my aunt and ask for her recipe because I like it every year.
Puerto Rican sweet potato casserole.
What could I do to make it more Puerto Rican? What could I add
when
to
you
it?
When you hand it, be like, this is a sweet potato.
What?
This potato is sweet. You like it, put it in your mouth and eat it up, okay?
It's like out of the gold foil.
It's like orange plantains. Addison, you've been going up to Detroit a lot recently.
I have been. I got a
What's that like?
It's cold. It's really cold. I hate it. But the money's really good.
So that makes it.
Yeah. Can we talk about what you're doing up there?
We can.
Okay, tell me.
I work at a little coffee shop called 515, and I host Drag Queen Bingo 4 days a month, and I've been doing it since September. It's fantastic.
Wait, that's awesome. You travel
there to do bingo? Uh-huh.
That's
pretty cool right there.
That's very awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of like the dream gig. The money's really good.
How many days do you end up being there? What days are drag bingo?
I'm there Thursday through Sunday, so I do one show Thursday, two Friday, two Saturday, and a Sunday morning.
You know what? I might actually consider buying my own ticket to Detroit just so I could go visit that city. Maybe not during the winter.
I would consider YouTubing it to watch the show.
Live stream?
I can't really think of any other situation where I'd actually go to Detroit. So at least if I know one person, I kind of feel a little... Well, we know Tony from the Drag Race cruise, too.
He lives in Detroit?
Tony Lowe?
Yeah. I didn't realize he lived in Detroit. Yeah. I thought he lived in Tampa. So I'm way off.
They're close.
Very similar. Very similar things.
So you enjoy going up there. How is the Detroit scene? Is it different than Orlando? Because you have a home here in Central Florida. What are Detroit people like?
It's very different. Just all I'm used to is Orlando. I've traveled a lot, but when I'm immersed in a different city for that long, there's something in the water because every man up there is gorgeous, and
I knew it.
Have had to get Plan B a couple times, and they're all like really they're not as clicky. Everyone's just really nice and welcoming and friendly. And I get paid to be a complete and total D-bag to people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's great.
I might actually save up my pennies. You know, now that I've conquered a mountain, now I want to go to Detroit.
Yeah.
It's kind of the next best thing.
The next
if you,
step.
You survive if the you mountain, can survive let's it. See if you can get through 6 miles. Perfect.
Instead of a hiking bag, get yourself a little bulletproof vest.
It's just as cold and freezing. And, you know, other than, like, battling the elements, you have to battle rival gangs.
And Eminem.
Did you see the new prep ad that Gilead is putting out that basically is kind of doing away with the whole why nice guys take prep?
When straight guys have a lot of sex, they're called studs. But when gay guys have a lot of sex, they're called sluts. I like to party. And I like to be safe.
This guy basically goes on and says, I'm a gay guy. I like to party, and they show him picking up his keys and clearly a bag of, like, drugs. And so he talks about it and says, yeah, but I'm wanting to protect myself because I like going out. And so it's a montage of him hooking up with guys at clubs, making eyes, like, starting in the bathroom, finishing somewhere else.
Yeah, nothing there that's going to propel a stereotype. Right?
But
I'm doing all these drugs, but I'm being responsible.
I'm a responsible
drug
abuser.
That's exactly what I said.
But every day at 3 o'clock, his phone goes off and says, Truvada alarm, so he takes his little pill. And they're going after the market, saying, hey, if you don't want to be sensible and smart, or should we still be happy that it's encouraging people to take the medicine? Like, if people are going to engage in that behavior, they're likely to do it anyway. So is, you know, letting them know more about the pill and catering to them that way beneficial? Or are we still trying to uphold the wholesome image?
And it's more damaging to every stereotype that people think of us.
Yeah,
in general.
It reinforces a stereotype, yeah, for sure.
But we all know that a lot of stereotypes come from truth. And as someone that's been on prep for 2 years, I'll be totally honest. You know, is the proper thing to say, yes, I take Truvada, but I still always use condoms, but I protect myself in case a condom breaks or someone lies about their status? In a really realistic, you know, nice PC way that we'd like to all be portrayed, maybe so. But honestly, dude, if someone's protected and they're taking that pill, you know, do we want all kinds of people to do it so it has the desired effect of curbing the new instances of infection, regardless of someone saying, yeah, I'm a slut and I take it and I like to party and that's why I take it?
But I think those things you should maybe do one at a time. Not like, I'm going to be up for 15 days smoking Tina, but I'm going to take my prep every day.
I'm responsible.
I'm responsible.
When I go off on a bender...
I've been making bad decisions my whole life, but the one good decision I made, thanks, Truvada.
That's put out by Gilead.
I protect myself from one of the many STIs, I'm going to go rampant.
Oh, shoot. You know what, Rob? Let's do the news really quick, because there's a story about
Am I doing news?
Oh, yeah. Would you mind?
Oh, okay. Sure. News stories that I spent a lot of time researching.
Right, thank you very much, Rob. As the news music is playing, pull the one that's from England, because it relates to the STIs.
From England.
This one's from Dublin, is that what you're...
No, the other one.
From Dublin. Oh, okay. Got it. Ready? I can't tell if my music's still playing.
Right, it's the karaoke track for Push It by Salt and Pepper.
That's the news song now? It's the Salt and Pepper Push It?
We're just coming off of the Truvada segment.
Oh, good point. All right, good. In that case...
Push it real good!
What? If you people could see what the host of this show was just doing, you would never listen.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So, prep it real good.
Okay. prep it real good.
Yo, baby. Oh, sorry.
Yo, Truvada, put a blue pill in my mouth. So,
are you about to do that, or are we going to move on?
I already took my Truvada today.
Okay, good. At 3 o'clock before your meth binge. Residents in Bry House, West Yorkshire, are shrieking at a local charity.
Aye! You can keep talking. I was just doing the sound effect.
For stapling condoms to the trees in the woods near Kirkalese Lagoon, a popular cruising destination in the otherwise quiet riverside community.
They don't mean on a boat.
Can you make crispy wing, please? Or a drum?
Steve Kelly told the Mercury Press, "I came down with my daughter once when she was 10 and we saw a man getting spit roasted in the trees." Over the years, the area has developed a reputation for being a magnet for open-air orgies involving gay men, straight couples, and pervy voyeurs.
Sounds
also,
like Rome.
Sexy Russian Mr. Beans have been known to find their way there.
I was going
to
say, he sounds like the guy that hosted Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. Like, he's making it sound like this is a place I want to visit.
I'm Robin Leach, and I'm having an orgy in the woods. After residents suffered an uptick in cases of... that, a new STI that attacks urinary and general tracts, a local prevention group decided to distribute condoms labeled "I Protect Myself" in the area. Volunteers very intelligently stapled the condoms to trees near the lagoon. Because how could that go wrong?
Wait, if you staple a condom, doesn't it put a hole through the condom?
Why did they just use thumbtacks? Perfect. Not everyone is happy about the condoms.
Maybe it's an undercover like situation where they're trying to put holes in the condoms, hoping that people will use them, but actually spread more disease.
Sure, hope you took your Truvada, cause your condom's got a hole in it. Enjoy your orgy in the trees.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome.
Uncle Nigel.
Nigel, there's a condom on the tree. All right. Next news story comes from Dublin. Well, you just want me to do a bunch of bad accents today? Was that
yes, please.
From Dublin.
Yes, please.
All right, here we go.
I got tired of them.
Celebrated its first gay marriages on November 17th, 6 months after voters overwhelmingly chose to legalize the practice in the traditionally conservative Catholic nation.
And the what flick nation?
Catholic. What's the matter with you? Gay marriage became
I said cock flick.
You can't say that.
I just turned the mics off.
What's the matter with you? You're a leprechaun.
I just took it out of the closet.
I don't think you could say shillelagh.
Oh, sorry. You gotta bleep that out.
Wait, it's like a walking stick.
It's a walking stick. Gay marriage became officially legal November 17th, but the legislation required a minimum 24-hour notice to upgrade civil partnerships, while those seeking a legal union for the first time must wait a further 3 months to schedule their service. Ireland's first couple to sign on the dotted line was lawyer Cormac Golilgi and bank official Richard Dowling, both 35 years old. It was great to get done so... Oh, I went Scottish. They're always after me Lucky Charms.
It's always one phrase that brings you back.
Yeah, that's what you need. It's a great day to get done so early, to be the first in Ireland, said Gologly, who had been dating Dowling for 12 years. Good for you. Get yourself a nice little four-leaf clover.
Very nice. Good job. What else is in the news?
Other things in the news. Sexy actor Reed Ewing, best known for playing Haley's dumb pretty boyfriend Dylan on Modern Family, has casually come out as gay on Twitter after publishing a first-person account of his experience with body dysmorphia and plastic surgery. In the essay on HuffPo on Friday, Ewing
wrote, I generally believe, or sorry, if you know him, you know he's, I generally believe that if I had one more procedure, I would suddenly look like Brad Pitt.
You sound like him. Good job.
Now, I actually know him.
I was going
to
say,
he's from Orlando.
I didn't know he's from
back in the day.
I didn't know he's from Orlando, but we both know, I'd heard rumors about this before from someone that you and I have as a mutual acquaintance that had been like, oh yeah, I boom snap clapped it with him,
yeah,
you know, long
he
ago.
He used to go to Ibar and dance with our little group of friends that would all be out there dancing. So anyway, he said he underwent several procedures over the next few years, but ultimately realized his problem wasn't one that could be solved by scalpels and Botox injections. He was upset because he said none of the doctors suggested I consult a psychologist for what was clearly a psychological issue. But then with it, I remember there were, it's not in this article, but people asked him like, so are you coming out as gay? And he was like, I was never in.
Right, that part got cut off, and thanks. So thank you for covering that. In the tweets, you know, they were saying, I guess with the essay, they were asking that as a follow-up question, saying, well, what psychological issue were you dealing with? Or, you know, and, you know, I can speculate that it may have been, you know, being in the closet or the stress of that, or maybe some other issues that, you know, were associated with his body dysmorphia. And so when they say, hey, is this you? Are you admitting you're coming out of the closet? Or is this you coming out of the closet? He said, oh, you know, I wasn't really in. Just casually throw it out there.
Like, and he posted follow-ups on Twitter saying, like, I wrote an essay about being happy with your body, and everyone's like, oh, you're gay. Like, you completely missed the point.
Totally, because even, like, the top here is like, he came out. Also, he had body dysmorphia issues and turned to surgeries, even though he was already a good-looking guy.
Yeah.
Thanks, Latrice.
Yeah, that was really loud. That was
I heard that through your headphones from here.
Yeah. Addison, before I go into this next big news story that
big
I have...
Big news!
I love how every year we do have listeners... And there are people of all ages and sex and sexual orientations, you know, that listen to the show. You know, we are the number one gay radio show and podcast in the state of Florida and the Southeast United States. And you know what? I like to always think around the holiday times when we sometimes take for granted that we can go home and be with our families, that we will have somewhere to be. And, you know, I once had a family issue where I didn't get to be with my family on Christmas because of a falling out with my mother. And it, you know, was a directly aggressive confrontation, you know. And I remember your kind...
to that radio show.
I don't know if we're going to do it this year, but I remember last year very fondly, you have a definition of family, because I think I just asked you and said, hey, you know, do you spend Thanksgivings with your family? And I wanted to kind of have you give a word of wisdom, a corn nugget of goodness to, you know, to the people.
Not a corn nugget. To answer the question... Simply, yes, I will be spending the day with my family. Some of them will be people that I'm related to, but the fun Thanksgiving that I'm looking forward to is with all my family that I've chosen since I've grown up. Because that's the beautiful thing as a gay person, whether or not your biological family wants anything to do with you, we can choose who we want to be around. So I have a very fantastic family, and there's a couple of them that I'm related to, but most of them are people that I have met over the last 10 or 15 years. Mm-hmm. So I'll be hanging out with them.
That's very awesome. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, we were on the show and we talked about how, you know, you don't get to always choose your family, but you do get to choose your friends. And I think as you grow up, sometimes you find your, I remember your roommate Logan said specifically, find your tribe, mm-hmm. find your tribe of people, you know, that fulfill you, that sustain you. You know, so if you do find yourself and you are home and that's not necessarily a source of comfort, realize that beyond that one day, you know, you can negotiate your way through the holidays, get through, do what you got to do and find your freedom, find your truth, live it quietly and clearly. You know, and don't be afraid of that. So, you know, okay, so there's a new gay epidemic. Do you know what the new...
Did you take like half a second to get away out of that into the gay epidemic?
Because Thanksgiving. Okay, so there's a new gay epidemic. Do you know what the new gay epidemic is? You probably already know what it is. Do you know what the new gay epidemic is?
Pumpkin spice latte.
addiction to scream queens and American horror stories.
I was going to say condoms stapled to trees.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I stapled my condom to a tree. I can't get the accent. I got them all combined into one. It's Puerto Rican Thanksgiving.
Oh, so you take condom, you staple it to a tree. So, what?
Nothing.
Puerto Rican Thanksgiving.
It's me,
cold
mad, in Russia, condom staples you.
STD catches you in Soviet Russia. Last week was LGBT Health Awareness Week.
Let's just call it Healthness.
Healthness.
My healthness is strong.
This was an interesting study. According to the American Lung Association, gay men are approximately 2.5 times more likely to smoke, lesbians being about twice as likely as their straight counterparts. Everyone knows that smoking is the leading preventable cause of death, and that's true for everyone, whether you are gay or straight. So, they evaluate why that number is so much higher for our LGBT, you know, LGBTQers than it is heterosexual people. Why that rate is so much higher? And they give a couple of reasons. What do you think? Some of the why do you think the I almost said the F word for gays. Why do you think gays smoke more than straight people?
Well, technically, that's what they call it.
Yeah, hey, can you give me an expletive for a gay person? I think it might be because it's like a social thing, I guess. You can go to any club in like Orlando and everyone's trying to bum a cig off of everybody. So, I mean, I guess that environment, I suppose, would promote someone to always want to be smoking a cigarette. Or, oh my gosh, I'm around all of these queens, hand me a cigarette. Like,
you work at a bar, Addison, what do you think?
I work at a bar that is now no smoking.
I know, and you know what, that's been nice though. I've noticed
like
that
crazy.
It's,
yeah,
it's been nice, but then it's also been like, what's that smell, and has it always been there? Because now, now that it doesn't smell like smoke, you're like, okay, oh. So does the restaurant always smell like I don't get it.
Yeah, last night
it's
I was there, there was an odor.
There are some questionable, yeah, and
the, nobody like, could identify the source. Of
Parliament
it.
House, home of questionable odors for 40 years.
It's you could have the time of your life, or you could get killed as soon as you walk in. That's up to you. I feel like people are smoking because, well, I know that I smoke because I look gorgeous with a cigarette hanging out of my mouth.
That's exactly it.
I think probably a social thing. Like, if you're out cruising trying to pick up trade, you're probably drinking, and most homosexuals are like, I only smoke when I drink.
Right. They bring up that. They talk about the gay community has always socialized and interacted in venues like bars, and as that being a big part of gay culture and socialization, you know, smoking is just kind of associated with that. And if a gay bar was the only place you could go to maybe be yourself. So that's one instance they talk about.
I'm going
to
say I got two. One is just clearly in the gay community there's an oral fixation.
Okay.
Number two, gay hipsters with their vape pens.
Yeah.
Gay hipsters are everywhere. I don't smoke, I vape.
I'm switching back to vape because
vape.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It just you have to charge it at the end of the night.
I mean instead of like.
Yeah, gotcha. But it's still the same thing.
No, but it still has
a
different
effect.
Does it
not have the same result?
But one is inhaling smoke into my lungs, the other is
inhaling
vapor.
Smoke like powder.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Is it really that bad? People that are just like sucking on one of those hookahs walking around the bar from the shisha bowl?
That is worse for you.
Is
that's it? Like having seven cigarettes shoved in your
mouth. I see. And the thing
well,
that gets
it all
me,
depends on what they put in them. Because you can have some, if you have the stuff that has tobacco in it, then it's okay because it's tobacco.
Yeah.
But if it's some, it's all synthetic,
it's like
garbage.
Chemicals. Yeah. So you're like, I don't want tobacco. Instead, load a bunch of chemicals into a thing that you now light on fire and I inhale into my
lungs. I want the cherry flavored thing. So I want lots of red dye number 17
I'm
and
more
a little bit of dirt.
So much healthier.
I'm pumpkin more concerned. I'm more concerned on everyone sharing it because I'll see like the same people have like 20 people smoke
these
off of the same.
These are all people
hookah.
That have had worse things in their mouth.
Yeah,
it's
that
fine.
Is true. That is true. And the same thing happens though with tiny cigarettes. You know what I mean? People who are, you know what I mean? But people who are not afraid to, like, who are so scared of germs, all of a sudden you have little cigarette going by and everybody's like, oh, pass.
Yeah.
Like, wait, you were just scared to share a water glass with someone, right?
I thought one of the reasons might be because smoking. Do you smoke cigarettes?
Not cigarettes.
Do you smoke cigarettes?
If my doctor is listening, no.
No, Rob.
I have a vape pen that I fill with chemicals.
With cloves.
I usually put a little bit of bleach and some cloves in there.
There you go.
But no, I don't smoke.
I thought that maybe, and this is what made me think of it, this was my roommate. You know, my roommate is loves the cigarettes.
What makes you think he's a smoker?
I would have never guessed.
I started when I was 7.
I still imagine that Daniel's voice used to be like, right? Hey, everybody, I'm here. I'm Daniel. I'm an elite gymnast from North Dakota. He tried his first cigarette like,
is this a cigarette?
Don't let this happen to you.
I used to be elite a gymnast from North Dakota.
Now I can't even walk on the flight of stairs. I can't even be bothered to put pants on when I'm painting. I get winded.
Oh my god.
We had to put a shower curtain up in the back patio because I'm convinced the 70-year-old neighbor with lung cancer has just been like watching him, and I'm just kind of like, eh.
Let
she's
her
like,
get a thrill.
Let her get a thrill, a little
how
rush.
How much adventure do you think she's getting? Give her a half-naked boy outside
anyways,
painting.
So I was,
as long as he doesn't talk, I'm into it.
I was thinking that maybe gay guys are smoking more because it can oftentimes be associated with, like, curbing your appetite. Smoking is different than food, so a lot
if
of people that smoke are thin.
If smoking cigarettes curbed your appetite, I can tell you that that's not true. Look at me.
She'd be Tyra Banks.
Gee, I wish that it was an appetite suppressant.
Addison is our resident tweak.
The American Lung Association also says that the stress from social stigma and discrimination because of sexual orientation is frequently cited as a reason that many gay people start smoking as young adults, and then they continue with the habit because maybe they are closeted or young.
Research on this, or are they just like, you know, gay people are stressed, so they smoke.
What's the source?
The American Lung Association.
Oh, okay. They might be a little more.
They might legit. Have some they statisticians might actually, on their team.
I'm going to have to take a step back on my.
Oh, but BuzzFeed. But lung is spelled L-O-O-N-G. So.
See, yep, it's a BuzzFeed article. 20 reasons why you'll smoke and your life will never be the same.
Exactly.
Again.
Exactly.
For gays.
So I'm going to be doing the trans Latino. Thanksgiving.
Can you call it Transtino?
The Transtino?
Mm-hmm.
I know what I want to talk about. Have you ever had.
Did you just decide?
Yeah, I know what I want to talk about.
Oh, look what's on my paper. Have you ever had someone. Do you ever like when you become a regular at a place and it's kind of like when you go there enough, like they either know your order, or even if you don't know the person's name, like they know, like that's where you get your dry cleaning or that's where you pick up this item.
Why do you think I go to Bobby every time I'm in Parliament?
Yeah, everyone's got like a drink, a bartender that's kind of their loyalty point. I kind of bounce between like two or three bartenders because I'm not a big consumer, so I try to, like, you know.
Well, I usually do that too because, like, okay, if I go to Parliament House on a Saturday, I've got Bobby and Addison's there, and so I'm like, okay, well, I like all of these people, but right. There's something comforting about going to a bartender who you actually know and like. I don't know why that is, but I would so much prefer to order a drink from one of my friends than from a stranger.
Because it's right? Like we're not going to judge you because we have drank together before, right. So.
Yeah. And there's something weird about ordering drinks from a stranger where I just feel this weird, like.
And it's almost like when I go out, when people are like, what are you drinking? I almost like, you should know.
Right.
Well, I know that you've never met me, but you don't know who I am.
Right. Don't you?
Like, it's.
I'm sorry. I just said I don't go to the one bar that you perform at and get free drinks at. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But, like, as a bartender, I have a whole list of people. I don't know what your name is, but I know that what you drink.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have the same little place that I will go maybe like, you know, once a week to get sushi. And unless I'm going for like a meal with someone, I'm more likely to get to the to-go sushi so I can go home and eat it in the comfort of my house watching TV or Muppets or getting wasted
Muppets
and watching
TV.
Yeah. The new Muppets just is on, the new Muppets is on point, dude. The new Muppets is great. Like, I think the writers just sat down and said, hey, how do we take these iconic characters and just add all kinds of personality traits and quirks and things and make them just out of their comfort. Like, the new Muppets is awesome. I endorse it fully.
One of my favorite lines in there was, they said to Dr. Teeth, you know, the guy who's in charge of the band.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Electric Mayhem.
Like, you're always so happy. And he goes, yeah, legally now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They made it.
Which is such a small little joke. But I was like, oh my God, that is funny.
Did you see the one where they were hungover? And so Kermit goes, Beaker, why are you and Bunsen wearing each other's clothing? And Beaker starts to go, me, 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 me. And the guy stops and goes, if it didn't happen at work, we don't have to tell anybody anything. So anyway, so the Muppets are amazing. But what I was going to say was, I'm going to get my sushi. And I think that the little sushi man at my sushi restaurant that I always happen to get when I call and order and pick up, I think he's developing a little bit of a crush because now he either knows my voice or number. So
I
now
give you extra crab legs.
So he's like, oh, DJ. So he's always very happy to talk to me.
That sounded like the
he's
doctor.
Also
the doctor from the Simpsons.
Oh, you gotta make the sushi more delicious.
I make you sushi.
Dr. Nick Riviera. So at first it was kind of cute, and in my head I'm going, oh, it's nice to have like a little old Asian man with round glasses. He looks kind of just like the caricature of an Asian from like a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Does he have a Fu Manchu?
No. He's a clean shaven Asian. He doesn't look like
he's
the guy.
Shaving.
He doesn't look like he'll sell me a mugwai, just like he'll sell me sushi.
You're not ready. You let him watch television. He's a very, very sexy American man.
There you go. So I ordered, but he went too far this time. So I'm trying to like talk to him and order, you know, get the sushi and get, you know, be polite, give my pleasantries. And he decides to talk my ear off now. So he went too far by telling me that he's like going to be gone for 4 weeks, that his dad's in like aging health in Thailand or something. He's got to go. And I'm kind of going, okay, now you're delaying me from eating my delicious sushi. So I don't know if this crush is real. This is not really working for me anymore. But I then thought, on the other hand, I am always happy to see him. I do always get delicious sushi after I leave him. I was like, there's like some positive memories associated with this Asian man that's, you know, like the 60-year-old Asian man selling me sushi.
I will say I have a guy who has a crush on me who works at the 7-Eleven by my house.
Right.
Aww. So when I go in, he like never charges me for my coffee if I get caught. And it's sweet until he hit me up on Grindr. And I was like, oh, now it feels really uncomfortable.
And then he's like, hey, remember that free coffee?
And he's like, so what are you doing now?
You owe me $6. He's not that hot guy from 7-Eleven.
No, now it feels weird. What'd you say?
He's not that hot guy from 7-Eleven. Like, no. You can't be sexy and make minimum wage.
I'm trying to think. Do I see hot guys working at 7-Eleven often?
I don't think I've ever seen a hot guy working at 7-Eleven.
I have.
There's been a couple.
I've seen a couple.
I mean, in the history of ever.
But I really don't have standards. So, I mean, if you're alive, like, you're halfway there.
Yeah, very nice. Good job. As our outro music is starting to play, thank you for being a part of the annual Thanksgiving feast tradition. No one even ate the chicken except for Alex.
I had a piece.
You had a piece?
Delicious.
I had a piece. It was good times. And you know what? Wherever your family is, whatever your traditions are, find a voice for yourself. Find your family. Find your tribe. Have a good time. Find your own personal mountain and go climb it and challenge yourself. And maybe don't freeze your ass off in Argentina. I woke up shuddering at night. I had to fall asleep with 3 pairs of pants on, 4 shirts, a jacket, a hat, gloves, in a sleeping bag with my shoes on. And I was still like shaking.
That's how most of us
here
in Orlando were yesterday, because we were like, it's 50 degrees.
It's like 50 degrees. Everyone was losing their mind. Alex, what do you have going on this week?
Nothing. I got the day off for Thanksgiving, so I'm going to go out Wednesday night and be hungover with my family on a beautiful Thursday.
Very nice. I love you very much. Thank you for being a part of the show. Your enthusiasm and contributions to it are invaluable. We'll just work on you interrupting people a little bit. There. Rob Ward, what do you have going on this week?
I'll be in South Florida for the weekend. So if you're out there in South Florida, hit me up because I don't know what to do. Also, hanging out with my family this weekend.
Very nice. Good job. Addison Taylor, I'm probably going to see a lot of you in the next couple days because I'm going to make it out to the Parliament House. What do you have going on?
I will be drinking heavily all week, and I'm going to hopefully raise $19 more, which will get me to my $500 goal for No Shave November.
Really? Yes. You know what? I'll do that. I'll match you for that right now, because I did No Shave November.
Yeah.
We'll do...
The goal has been reached.
The goal has been...
He got money.
Oh, you just meant $1 over goal.
Thank you.
Congratulations. No Shave November. It's a great cause that brings awareness to cancer, men's cancer, by, you know, not shaving and not getting a haircut, saving that money, donating it to charity, you know, bringing awareness because many cancer patients lose their hair while going through chemo. I would have done more for it, but I was kind of just out of the country, so it was more convenient for me to not shave from, like, a river, you know, with a stone. And that's it for today's special edition of Outland Orlando, the Homo Happy Hour, the most unique radio show of its kind. And we always remember we are one human family. Sometimes
how do I end this show?
Like, I just did the intro.
Let's try something new.
Always remember we are one human family, sometimes dysfunctional, but still a family. So until next time, always swing first, fight good fights, and let justice roll. Until next time, I wish you enough.
Feliz Thanksgiving.
I'm Justice, and I love you.
This is a sweet potato.
This potato is so sweet with the margarita.
This is the sweetest of the potatoes.
And everything.
We got a roast quesado con pollo and marshmallow potatoes.
You are gay.
I'm ruined on the air. I'm ruined in the air.
How are you ruined on the air? How are you ruined on the air?
You made me look like an idiot.
What goes in and out of my mouth is my own responsibility, and I do who I please, and I please who I do. Okay? Okay.
Gorgeous.
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 And fabulous.
We here at Outland Orlando give that 1, 2, 3. Gorgeous.
Didn't go to sleep, went to court, and now I'm very, very legal.
Yay!
That was the gayest arms I've ever seen to express that.
Now I'm very, very legal.
Jeff.
It's a talk and entertainment show. I host it. I wanted to be entertaining to all people, gay, straight, young, old. I happen to be gay. You know, I don't want to do a radio show where it's us versus them mentality. We're one human family.
And the more you tout yourself around town as the happy homo, I mean, that's just great. That's f***ing great. I hate the word homo. I can't stand it. If someone calls someone gay, it's one thing. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate that show. I hate everything about it.
Can you get over the friggin' name of the pig and pat me in the back for matching the funds?
No. No. Because
we're matching the funds.
No.
It's Out Loud Orlando, the Homo Happy
Hour.
Why? Raising money for a good cause.
Because
get over it.
You
it's
could
such
not.
A good idea.
No, no, it's not.
It.
No, it's not.
You're
you know why?
You're passionate about it.
Do you know why?
You're passionate about AIDS education because you hate AIDS pig. You would buy a shirt that says, I hate the AIDS pig.
No.
Yes, you would.
goddess warrior princess Xena style.
It's
it's all food. A lot, Orlando, ruining lives all on across
a,
America.
On a daily basis.
Daddy poppers?
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm like lobbing up beach balls for you to like come back with, you know, your sniper rifle of ha ha.
Dating the same guy.
Oh, that just came
Wait,
out.
Wait, what?
Look around you. Everything the light touches is gay.
Out Loud Orlando, the homo happy hour.
Of course.